Seems like deja vu, like we just did this and Frank messed up the recording.
Yeah, I think it was something like that anyway. Yeah. What do you have a piece of?
God. It's a good thing I own the station.
I didn't say who do you have a piece of.
Only Greg.
Okay, yeah, it's Gone Fishing, Little Louie and Bing, and Fishing Frank here in the chair. Yes, I am. I remember I'm here. Captain Greg, if you haven't noticed, in the chair across from me, Captain Carl in the middle seat, and in the hot seat is Vinny.
It's Vinny.
And we got to say hi to all the guys in Canada at the fire stations there in Toronto. Thank you guys for listening, and all points here and yonder. I think we're up to 200 people in the UK listening now.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, John promotes us pretty well over there.
Yep. Hi, John. How's life in the UK? It feels like the UK here today.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, it's drizzly, chilly, dreary.
We feel your pain, John.
Yes. I mean, we're pretending we're in. Where is he from? Outside
Gosport.
Gosport.
Right outside of Portsmouth.
Right outside of Portsmouth.
I'm probably saying that wrong, but...
Portsmouth or something.
Yeah, you know, they speak funny English over there.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't speak American English. They speak Greg English Stern. English.
Yeah, who would ever thought, you know? All right. So anyway, hello, England. John and all the guys in Toronto Firehouse and everybody in Points Beyond. Let's see. Robert's in Costa Rica right now.
Lucky dog.
I mean, I don't know. It's
third
it's
time
rainy,
a year.
It's rainy season down there, so hopefully he's getting pouring down rain on
wet.
Yeah. I saw the picture of Christy, though, and it looks beautiful.
The green eyelash viper or something, she put a picture up last night, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. They're having a ball down there in Costa Rica.
He called me Thursday night.
Isn't it nice to be the king?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Well, I mean,
I don't know. I wouldn't know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me either.
We're here doing a boat show this week. Robert?
Yes, we're at the Fort Myers Boat Show this week. If you're down in Fort Myers area, they have the big Fort Myers Boat Show. It's right on the water, and it's an amazing show. It really is. That's a big
really
one.
Is. Yeah.
It's
Harborside Event Center.
Yeah, and it goes from the Colonial Bridge all the way over to the other one. I mean, it takes up pretty much the whole space.
Big show.
Whether you've got a rowboat or multi-million dollar yacht, it
they
is.
They had that $7 million job there last year. That was quite a tub.
Yeah. You going to loan me the money, Greg?
Yeah, sure. Let me write you a check. I still got checks in my checkbook.
Yeah. Can't be out of money. I got checks in my checkbook.
That's right.
I don't have the checking account to go with it anymore.
Hey.
But, yeah. So anyway, fishing. We're here to talk about fishing. Yes, we are. And area fishing report is what we're supposed to be doing, but I don't know where to start. Carl, where's the fish at right now? You've been on the water, what, almost every day this week?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of...
He's going to lie.
Well, he's Carl. He's going to lie. Now, when Carl tells you there's fish on the lower west side... Go to the Upper East Side,
or down to Pine Island.
No, not Carl. Look at him.
Threw you under the bus.
He's licking his lips. He's got his head down. Carl.
Actually, there is fish right now everywhere. I've been doing a lot of pasita.
Everywhere.
There really is.
They're in the water.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good place to start looking. One thing, though.
There are some in our freezers.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about Placita, Carl. Go ahead.
I mean, there's fish in Placita, the West Wall, Turtle Bay, East Wall. They're all on their migration right now. But the thing about the fishing is, like, one day they want shrimp, the next day they want whitebait, the next day they want cutbait. They're not fixed on one thing right now.
You know, I kind of get that because I wake up in the morning and, you know, I've had an omelet for 3 days and now an oatmeal or something else. Just change of pace. Right. I don't know if fish are the way we are where they just get tired of one food, or maybe it's something in their bodies that say, you know, they need certain vitamins or oils or something like that.
It might be just because, I mean, theoretically, right this time of year, we shouldn't have whitebait around anymore.
Well, the water's not that
like
cold.
We do.
Not, yeah, not
like
we
do.
The
water's not that cold yet. It was only 70, it's 72 degrees, so that's still good whitebait territory.
That's colder than I'm getting in it.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a whitebait, I'd be off the keys by now. Yeah.
I'd be in Costa Rica with Robert.
Yeah, it's 72, let's see, 72 here, it's like 78 just south of Naples.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference. That's, you know, that's 4 or 5 degrees, 6 degrees. That, you know, and you don't think it's that much, but think difference between 32 and 38.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about those temperatures.
It felt like it this morning. I walked outside, and it really felt a lot colder than it was. Mm. But anyway, what kind of fish are in these areas? Let's go back to the phosphate dock for a minute. What are you seeing over there? I got railed out there the other day. There's never stopped them.
There's big snook out there right now. There's always Goliath grouper there. I mean, there could be a few tarpon running around out there still, but...
They're going to go in and out of there because, you know, people say, well, they're in the pass or they're up the river. Well, really, it doesn't take that long to go from the river, you know. It's
not far.
30 miles, and if you're traveling 2 miles an hour, it's not that long. Mm. It's 15 hours, so in a day or two, they can go right back and forth. That's 2 miles an hour, and a tarpon can easily swim 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's only 3 hours to get from up river back, you know.
And I have it on good authority that there's actually good big tarpon in there all year long. If you run over that with a machine, a good machine, and you can image all the stuff, the side imaging and stuff, there's tarpon there all year long. People just think a Boca Grande's no good for tarpon in the winter or any time other than
because
the big run in the spring.
Because it's not that great. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, I mean, you're not really like having fishing like you've got 3 months where it's the most spectacular fishing.
Exactly.
And then you've got the rest of the year where it's okay.
Right.
But, you know, I fished there, you know, I can't even tell you how many times in the winter and fall and never hooked a tarpon or even saw one caught. And but then you go in there and when they're in there and thousands and thousands of fish.
Well, and the thing is, you're fishing out there like you're talking. Well, were you going in there with side imaging so you could target them right on top of them? Probably not.
No, I was when I was doing charters, I never had to spend any money on the bottom machines or any of that other stuff.
You're in 2 feet of water.
No, all I had to do was go, okay, he knows what he's doing, he knows what to do. I just got in behind them. I stay about, you know, 100 feet away from them, and they start drifting, I just drift right after them. I caught all the fish in the world. I didn't spend $3,000 on a bottom machine, you know. All I looked on the boat, and I went, okay, look at, he's got imaging on that one. Okay, I'll go right behind him. It saved me thousands of dollars. I was looking to see what they got. Why am I going to spend the money? So anyway, coming back in Bull and Turtle Bay, what's going on over there?
There's a lot of trout out on the grass flats right now from like a 3 to 5 foot range. Look,
the
on
trout are 3 to 5 feet?
On your 3 to 5 foot depth.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they'll be in your 3 feet. I mean, some days they'll be in your 5 feet of water.
Yes, Vinny, I'm sorry. This is the way I do the show. Vinny's over there looking at me like, Frank, you're the worst freaking host ever. Why does anybody come on this show?
I really look at him.
It's that typical Fish and Frank's abuse, you know.
So, anyway, we got 3 to 5 foot trout in 18 to 24 inches of water. So
I'm throwing a shrimp on a pink Rockport rattle underneath the bobber, popping it every 20 to 30 seconds, picking up nice trout out there.
About 18 inches, 2 feet below the bobber?
Yep, about 2 feet below the bobber.
It's amazing how well that pink jig head attracts the fish.
I love it. I don't leave dock without it.
We know.
I can't believe that. Rockport Rattler loves you.
Oh, I love that.
Charles and his wife, Vicky, they're just the nicest people ever.
Oh, yeah, they're very nice people.
And they're a little slow in getting us product. We're running real low.
We're out of pink.
And wiped out the pink, and I've had 5 customers in looking for the pink. So, Vicky, if you're listening, we need more of the pink.
I know where you hide your pink.
We know
where it's at.
Y'all better stay with
me. We do know where they're at. I'll just ask Barb. Barb, I need some pink Rockport Rattlers, and I'm sure she would get some for me out of your stash.
Yep, so, I see how it is.
Anyway, what it is a popping cork is a styrofoam float, and on the top end of it, it's kind of hollowed out a little bit. Looks like a popper or a topwater popping lure. And it goes to kind of like a cone shape and narrow on the bottom, and it's got a little weight in it usually. But when you're throwing it with the Rockport Rattler, get the ones with the black stick that does not have the weight in it. You don't need a weighted bobber and a jig head below it. You want to use the unweighted popping cork with the jig head. Now, what makes the Rockport Rattler that much special is it is a built-in glass chamber rattle. And the little BBs inside that glass chamber, as you pop it, makes a very delicate kind of, I don't know, rattling sound.
Rattle. Yeah.
Rattling sound. I mean, what else do you say besides rattling sound? I wanted to be creative, and I just failed miserably.
Bottle full of BBs.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it's a subtle rattle, though. It's
And I think with the paint on it, it creates that, because you got to think a shrimp has little tiny claws like a crayfish or a lobster does, but they're very, very small, and as they clack together and all the little legs and moving,
rattles.
That's got to be a very tiny, specific type of noise.
Vibration.
Yeah, well, noise vibration, that's right. And I think Rockport has one of the best bait vibration rattle noises, and somehow or another they got it right, and we don't know how you did it, you know, Charles and Vicky, we have no idea, but you know, you did. I mean, it works.
I mean, the other day, I mean, my guy, one of my clients was
inquiring minds want to know.
Hold that thought for a minute. I do have to ask, how are you putting the shrimp onto the jig head?
I'm pinching the tail off at the first joint, and then what I do is I feed the hook through and come out the top of the shell. Because naturally, when a shrimp pops away from a predator in the water, he snaps backwards in the water.
Right. They swim forward, but to escape a predator, it's a line of sight issue. If they can pump that big tail like a crawdad or a lobster, get out of the line of sight of the predator, they can stay alive.
Yep. And then I also pinch the tail off because it puts a lot of scent in the water.
I'm not sure what's he's mumbling over there.
I said, and he ruined that for them.
Yes.
Just cut their tail right off.
My client the other day, he was asking, can you throw a Rockport Rattler with like soft plastic baits? And I was like, yeah. So then we started putting a DOA cow paddle tail on, or a Little John, and we were catching trout just off the Rockport Rattler with a Little John too.
So oh yeah,
they work.
What is it about a Little John, Vicky or Vinny, have you thrown a Little John?
Yeah, and of all of the plastics, that's the one I've had the most success with.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It looks like somebody sat down and pinched it.
It's a little tip.
Out. I mean, it's flat on one end, it just kind of tapers down on the other end. And there's no reason in the world why a Little John catches fish.
But it looks so much, I think it looks a lot different in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't pattern. Look like anything. I don't care.
All right, Vinny, break that GoPro out and put it in there. I want to see that.
What is it? What does it do? All of a sudden, alter its chemistry and become a.
You agree?
It's got its own swing pattern. Nothing else swims like it. Like darts through the water.
Yeah, there is nothing else. I don't know why it works, and it literally. I look at that bait, and nothing in my brain says this will catch a fish, at all. I can't even imagine why it does.
Yeah.
And it does, and it does, and it does, and it does, and it does.
Use me.
It works for
years. It's been years this has been catching fish. Okay, you're in Canada listening, and I will bet you if you took a Little John up there, the pike would tear it up. Mm-hmm. I know the bass will. That's easy. Yep. Bass will eat anything. But the bass will eat it like it's going out of style. But I'll bet you could catch the heck out of pike. And walleye, that's another easy one.
Yeah.
The walleye would eat it. I would probably shorten it up a little bit for the walleye. From the flat end, I'd take probably the first 2 inches off and shorten it up to about a 3-inch bait. Yeah. But you got to have about 2 inches past the hook to give that little wiggle on it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to shorten it up for walleye, right where it starts to taper on the back, you want to come forward, you know, put your jig head along and then slice it so you still have to have that, I think it's that little goofy nothing tail bobbing. Maybe it's like sticking the tongue out of the fish. I don't know. Yeah, it's like, you can't bite this. Oh, yes, I can.
I just think it's something they haven't really seen very much. I mean, there's no other lure that really darts through the water like that. It doesn't have a normal swimming pattern to it. So
no,
I know when I first saw them on the shelf, I wouldn't have bought one.
Neither would I.
I think it was Carl was the one who pointed it out to me. He said, no, these are good. But I would have never bought it had he not said something about it.
Yeah, I'm 100% with that. I would never, ever, if I just looked at it in the package, go, okay, this thing's going to catch fish. I would have never think
they
that.
They work on everything, too. Yeah. All fish like them.
Now, I throw more of the DOA Cal. I like the 4-inch paddle tails because I'm used to throwing them. I know what to do with them. You know, I'm actually fairly good with one. I like that the white and the clear black, or the white and clear with the black and silver glitter in the top of it, and the chartreuse tail. Man, I have caught so many fish on that lure. Unbelievable. I don't think there's one species I haven't caught with it. The hard part about using the DOA Cal bait with that paddle tail on it is remembering to lift the rod when you bring it back in.
Up and down.
Yeah, it's not a darting lure. With the when you're using the Little Johns, Vinny, do you dart the lure or do you lift it up and down and hop it?
I lift it up and down.
You're hopping it.
Yeah.
Carl, hop or dart?
Both. Depends on what, if I'm fishing for trout or if I'm fishing for redfish. I mean,
If you're fishing trout, you dart it or hop it?
I dart it more.
Okay, if you're
fishing for redfish, I'm more bouncing it, lifting it straight off the bottom and letting it fall down.
And the difference when you're trying to listen to us about darting and hopping is how you pull the rod or twitch the rod. If you're moving it, the rod sideways motion, it's going to dart the lure forward. If you're lifting the rod tip in a jigging action, it's going to hop the bait. And so when I do trout, I'm hopping it more. But I fish the paddle tail so much. And that, the booger about that DOA Cal, the paddle tail, is they always want to hit it on the drop. I always picture it chasing the bait out of the grass and then the bait going to hide. Mm-hmm. And they always hit it at the bottom of the fall. Yep. Right when you don't know.
Right when your pause is. Yeah. Hardest place to feel the bite. Yep.
You can't feel it there. And all of a sudden you go to lift and all of a sudden you got a fish.
Yep.
That's double tough to learn the technique with that.
And when you're trout fishing,
and that paddle tail, I like to set it up on a offset worm hook rather than a jig head, and you can throw that and actually work it just like you would, say, an X-wrap.
So are you using a belly weight on it, or
no,
just throw it the way it is?
Throw it the way it is, throw it out there. It runs real shallow. You know, it's under the surface 4 to 6 inches. It's great for throwing in those shallow spots in the wintertime. And I just work it just like I would like an XR8 or something.
Yeah, like a twitch bait.
Yeah, like a twitch bait. And it looks good in the water doing that, too.
Okay.
So, Vinny, have you been out fishing lately?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you probably want to expand on that, or you're not going to be called during class again. Vinny, do you have your homework now?
He was sleeping over there, for God's sake.
Out, let's see, last couple days we've been out 2 times, Darlene and I, and first day we were...
Darlene is the better half of this pair,
yeah,
if anybody's wondering.
Again,
and the better fisherman, too.
We were drifting along trying to catch some cobia. And we were out between Alligator Reef and Mangrove Point or Whorehouse.
Right.
And just drifting. And I'd hooked up, wasn't by design, but I'd hooked up a big stingray. And, I mean, this thing was probably 45 inches wide or better. And as we got it closer to the boat, we started to see a cobia, a good-sized cobia, swimming right under it. And I know we've heard about it, talked about it before, about cobia following stingrays. Well, this cobia is just following it, and as the stingray was wore down, I would walk it in front of the boat, behind the boat, and this cobia is right behind it. So Darlene grabbed a decent-sized shrimp, threw it down. As it floated down in front of the cobia, you could watch him. He just popped it in his mouth. And then started chewing on it, you know, and then Darlene pulled the hook on him and he took off. And so I just set the stingray and the rod in the rod holder for the stingray because he was pretty much done. And Darlene fought that cobia for about 15 minutes. And we got that in the boat.
All right.
So the cobia,
37.
Wow. That's
nice.
Yeah. That's nice.
And, that's a nice cobia.
Now, I'm going to congratulate you. 99% of the people hook a stingray and they're so, I gotta get the stingray off the hook, they don't realize the opportunity involved in that, and that was perfect. I mean, you couldn't have done better if you tried. I mean, that is absolutely perfect. Don't ever pass up the opportunity of a stingray. I mean, there's so many other things that can happen.
Yep.
because you're bringing the stingray in.
Yeah. Go to the head of the class.
I wish.
You
wish
get a gold star, Vinny. Gold star.
You know, we went and spent all this money on a GoPro, and I didn't record it. It would have been great to have watched it, because it was really cool to watch this cobia swimming around and then get that bait.
Now, you can come up with some super glue, can't you, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
He's got a forehead and a GoPro. If we have some super glue to this, we can
get that
this.
Attached.
I have a screw gun, too.
That would work.
And then, but that was fun. And then yesterday,
if you're ever out there and wondering, I have no idea why anybody works for me. I have no idea why they stay.
You know, I've been Frank. You
it's
know,
the abuse.
We're looking at my 1 year anniversary at Frank's.
I didn't realize that. It's been a year.
You do know it's been 6 months that I've been asking you to get me off of Sundays with
Frank. He keeps talking to HR, and HR keeps telling him deal with it. You know.
Well, Helen Waite runs our HR department, so just go to Helen Waite. She's so real nice, but nice.
That damn Greg always answers the phone when he calls there too. I don't understand
He does. And so, and then back on fishing yesterday, we went out
and got wet.
We got a little wet coming home, but we went out late afternoon, not late, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and headed down to Two Pines, and we were fishing just off, I'd say outside the sandbar, outside of Two Pines, and we got into, you know, a ton of ladyfish. We were using live shrimp, and started to see some baitfish, little whitefish swimming around. So we put out a little chum, threw the net, got a net full of white bait, and then we started putting those out. And you know, Carl was talking about one day they're in the mood for shrimp, another day they're in. Well, as soon as we started throwing white bait, we started catching trout. And it was just one trout after another as soon as we put a white bait in the water.
Very cool.
Nothing big.
Yeah, I was going to say, down there right now, from what I'm hearing, 12 to 14 inches.
That's what we were looking at. And so knowing that, you know, that's probably a small school, get away from them, try to find a bigger school. And, of course, I didn't do what Greg said, but we moved about 50.
He's smart boy.
Yeah.
No, he moved 50 yards and stayed right in the same fish he was catching.
Yeah.
I told him I'd have moved a quarter of a mile.
Yeah, we went to move away from him a little bit, see if we get into a bigger school.
Well, now, and another trick to do is to have an old-fashioned mirror lure, the 5218 or the TT18 or one of those old-fashioned mirror lures. They're a very slow sinker. They fall 1 foot a second in our water.
Yeah.
And if you've got about 3 feet of water there, cast it. When you see it splash, count to two, and then just start slowly twitching it. The old mirror lure, that old 52 or TT, is a little bit bigger. And you can use a 21, a 26, any of the colors you want. But twitching that down really close to the bottom, right on the edge of the grass, if there's going to be a bigger one in that school, that's how I get them.
Okay.
I've worked out that number of years ago, because when you use the Storm Twitch, the mirror lures, 17 MRs, the 19s, all the Little Johns and everything, the little ones will all beat it up as well. For some reason or another, they don't seem to go after that old-fashioned TT. The TT18 is my favorite for the trout. It's a dark green back, silver sides, white belly with spots on it.
Yeah.
And the only difference between a 52 and a TT is the spots. They're the same lure, but I like the spots because it looks more like a trout. But slow twitch that right on the bottom, and those bigger ones do tend to, if there's a bigger one there, that's how I'll find them.
Yeah. Well, by the time we we moved, you know, the weather, if you remember, about 4 o'clock, the weather started really moving
getting
into
nasty.
The harbor. And so we looked at it and thought, we better get out of here. And
you're not going to tell the story about crossing lines?
About 4 o'clock yesterday, it did get that. That's when all this moved in. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get a Saturday night not working in the bait shop. My first one in a while, outside of being sick.
Well, you know, we had that stuff coming in from Boca, and then there was another front coming down from Port Charlotte. And we're heading towards Alligator Creek. So we were flying. I was doing about 48 miles an hour the whole way.
Trying to get in that little break before it all closed up.
Closed on us.
Yeah, I made the mistake one time Dad and I were down there, and we're watching, and it's the same thing, one coming in from the west, and it's filling in from the north. And I said, well, maybe that's going to go around, because it kind of looked like it would. It didn't. It was 40 mile an hour winds. Rain, we were 15 feet off the mangroves running, and couldn't barely see the trees.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it was a nightmare, and I do exactly as you do. When I see them all coming in, I'm hitting that throttle, and I'm getting back between them. Yeah. I'm no more just waiting for them to go around, because sometimes it just don't happen.
That's what I told him. That's what he has that smartphone for. You look at the radar and see what's going on instead of depending on your own eyesight. You know,
I'm going to depend on my eyesight. I'm going to look at it and see, because the radar tells you where it is. But
and it will show you where it's moving.
Yeah, I'm still. I want to look.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna.
Well, I'm gonna look too. But that's a nice extra tool, that radar on your phone.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So anyway, we ended the day. We caught snook, trout, no reds, more ladyfish than you'd ever want. But you know, fairly good day. Nothing sizable to brag about.
And a good shower at the end.
No.
A good wet shower.
Well, you know, at least you were clean when you got back, right? Cleans you right up, Vinny. It makes you brandy new again.
Rods was washed.
Rods were rinsed off. Everything was good.
Now, Carl, one of your customers was just in, and you've been out with him several times. Carl will take you on a boat and take him fishing trips and all that, but he also does instructional trips and takes people out and helps them learn where to go and how to catch fish and do all that. And the guy was in this morning, and you guys have been having a ball lately.
Oh yeah, we've been catching a lot of redfish.
So what happened the last time you were out? I mean, he was really excited about, you know, your last trip. You guys just had a phenomenal time. What'd you do?
We went down to Turtle Bay. We started the day out there trout fishing because it was really low tide, so we were trout fishing out in front of Turtle Bay. Caught a lot of nice trout, a lot of keeper trout.
Now, was this on the pop and cork shrimp?
Yep, pop and cork with a Rockport rather on a shrimp. We were also throwing a few greenbacks then too, but yesterday they wanted shrimp. Then as soon as the tide started coming in, we wandered into the back of Turtle Bay, started beating up a couple bushes that I knew were holding a couple redfish, and we sat there pulling redfish out left and right.
Now, isn't it amazing to me, you've got inside of Turtle Bay, if you added up all the shoreline, it's got to be 3 miles of shoreline.
Yeah.
Easily. And here you've got one tree that has 60 redfish underneath it, and then an identical tree 50 yards down or 20 yards down, and it's literally identical. Same bottom features, same everything, and there's not a fish under it. And then you go a while, and then there's a couple more, and then all of a sudden you find another tree, and here's this huge school of redfish again. And is this the way it's going right now?
Yes and no. I mean, most of the time, I mean, when I'm fishing for
redfish, it's all right. I can be wrong. you can make me look bad at any moment you want to. It's quite all right. Don't worry. I only sign your paycheck. It's okay.
I mean, most of the time when I'm fishing for redfish, if I do catch one, I'm going to stop the boat and fish that same area, you know, for another 10, 15 minutes. Because most of the time, if you catch one redfish, you're going to get more.
But right now, doesn't it seem like they're more bunched up than normal?
Oh yeah, they're really bunched up now. I mean, every bush that I pull up to, if I catch one, I'm at least getting 10 or 15 out of it.
That's what I'm kind of what I was alluding to. You have certain times of the year where they're just scattered everywhere, and you go along the shoreline, you get one here and two there, and it makes fishing really difficult because if you're not moving, you're not finding fish.
Yep.
But right now, I mean, if you pull up in that tree and there's one, like you say, there's 15.
Yep.
I mean,
It's weird. They're all bunched up still. I mean,
you think about it. What did we just come off of?
Full moon.
Red October, for one thing. So they were all kind of together making babies.
Well, now, our fish aren't really big enough to really make too much babies.
They've got it in their head. They want to head down that way where the big ones are playing.
Yeah.
You know, because...
Well, like the 14-year-old. He's thinking about
he's
a lot.
He's looking in the window,
much
you know,
about it yet, but he's thinking
people,
about it.
He's like, oh, yeah, that's the way they do that. Yeah. So they're all moving around.
In the window.
Now, though, that's pretty much past. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are... I'm sure there's still a few breeding out there someplace of the big fish. But now these fish are getting ready to go somewhere for the winter. Because you know, as soon as it gets cold, it's going to be a whole lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And the water is cooling
down.
Those
fish go back in the Gulf. And they've actually caught our genetically marked fish.
Right.
The Carolinas, mm-hmm. the Massachusetts, Louisiana. I mean, these redfish.
All over the place.
Once they leave and get in the Gulf, they're more like cobia.
They just go.
Yep.
Yeah. And the smaller fish that do stay, like we've said thousands of times before, those are the juveniles. They're still here in the playpen. You know, they're going to be wandering around doing whatever they can to find something to eat. You know, because when the white bait goes, you know, okay, now they're going to look at shrimp. They're going to look at whatever's out there, which makes the artificials great mm-hmm. over the winter because there's such a lack of natural food out there for them. It's like, okay, you know, throw me a frozen chunk of ladyfish. Throw me a frozen shrimp, whatever.
Pinfish.
And they're going to eat it, you know. But I think they're moving and heading towards where they think they're going to set up best for the winter.
They're moving to their warmer areas.
Exactly.
They're I think, to me right now, I think the redfish and snook, and you could be right or I could be right. We're going to call this one kind of a 50-50. The water temperature is dropping slowly on us.
It is.
And so I really think the reds are kind of where they want to be. The snook are where they want to be. The big movement right now is going to be in the sheephead, mm-hmm. the trout, right. the mackerel, the pompano. Our snook and redfish, once they find, they kind of went back to where they were growing up.
Right.
Because the only time a snook lives within a mile of where he decides to live, you know, which is a pretty big area, but not really when you look at Charlotte Harbor. You know, there'll be a half mile one way or the other way, but they'll be around that area once they get there. And they're going to, unless it gets really, really cold. Now, I'm talking once the water gets below 60, then these water, the fish are going
to
go
to smart enough to move.
To get to deeper water. Well, these fish were all made it through that big freeze. They're not the stupid, lazy, no good, ridiculous snook that never moved, the ones we had before the freeze. These are. That's natural selection.
Sure.
The stupid ones died because they were too lazy to leave the flat and go out to deep water. They just fell into a little hole or a ditch, waited for the water to come up, and that killed them. And so the fish we have now are not disposed to doing that the way those other fish were. Yep. After 15 years of no freeze, some of those fish grew up and never having experienced that. Now these fish know that this is what they've got to do. They've got to get to deep water.
It's getting cold.
Let's go to deep water. We're not going to have that big a fish kill unless it's 15 years from now before it freezes again. When we have a freeze every 2-3 years or whatever, 4 years, we don't lose fish the way we did because after 15 years, the fish got stupid and lazy and fat. And that was the problem. And you're not going to see that. If we get a freeze this year, you'll see a few floating fish, but nothing like it was. Not because we don't have as many fish, just simply
because the fish are smarter.
Yeah, they survive. They know they're not as lazy and dumb as the other ones.
Exactly.
There's a lot of big sheep's head in right now, too.
That's one thing that's really going to start. We're starting to get a lot of calls for fiddler crabs. Now, are you seeing anybody seeing bunches of sheep head moving, or is it twos and threes?
No, I'm seeing a lot. I'm finding them on outside of all the oyster beds right now. They're big sheep's head, above 20 inches, and there's quite a bit of them.
See, now... every 3 years, we have an amazing year on sheephead. And the way I always judge by which year that's going to be, and it, you know, three-ish years, it could be two, it could be four, but an average of three, is by how many you see at this time of year together. If it ones and twos and threes, it's going to be an okay year. But when you see fives to tens, now this is going to be a big year on sheephead. And next year is going to be really spectacular because they're all starting to spawn. I mean, that cold weather, they're like crappie. Crappie fishermen.
Yep.
They
were out this morning, even in that rain and cold.
Oh, that's what a crappie fisherman lives for. Yeah, rain and cold is what crappie fishermen live for out here. I mean, that's where everything is going to happen. And they're getting some nice crappie over here in the canals.
Yeah. Greg Bollinger was in this morning. He said he's getting them like that.
15. Know, yeah, 15, that was really good. For all those of you who
I was saying
see.
To you, yeah, like that, 15, 16
yeah,
inches.
I saw how you did that. Yeah, right here, Greg.
That's a select.
Yeah, that's a select right there. Well, that's what he was doing. Did you see that? How he was doing it to me? So, anyway, basically 12, 14 inch crappie out there. And now the sheephead, you're saying you're seeing them over 20 inches?
Yep. There's a lot of around all the oyster beds in front of Turtle Bay, Bull Bay. I've been throwing a pink rock port rattler, a one-aught. with a shrimp on the back of it, and we're getting good sheep's head. Where you hook them and you think you got a big redfish on.
Actually, they fight harder than a redfish.
Yeah. Those sheep's head are strong.
Yeah, they fight harder than a redfish. People don't think that.
And that Cabo spindle that time.
Yeah. Over creek. When you get a sheep head that's 20 inches long, you think you got an oversized
redfish or something.
You think it's about a 34-inch rat, easily.
You heard Eddie this morning. He had caught a 20-inch sheep's head on a hand-picked size shrimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a
lot of teeth. Yeah. I mean,
big teeth.
That's a lot of biting power. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever measured the biting power of a sheep head, but it's got to be astronomical.
I'm not sticking my finger in there to find out.
Yeah. Whatever you put in there ain't coming back.
Yep. It's like sticking your finger in the mouth of a snapper to get the hook out, right?
Yeah. We had a guy come in the other day, and I said, "Didn't you see those long pointy teeth?" Well, it looks like a smallmouth. I said, but didn't you see the long pointy teeth? He's like, well, yeah, but I didn't think they'd bite that hard. I mean, you almost got to break your jaw to get that.
Absolutely.
Those
it's
teeth
like a
out
pit bull
of
the sea.
Yep.
Yeah. They bite down, they don't shut. They're all open.
They're not opening again. They got meat. This is good. They're happy.
This is mine.
So, well, anyway, that was a lousy fishing report, guys. It really was. We almost got somewhere.
Well, we kind of talked about some fish and getting wet and one thing or another. We put the plug in for the boat show.
I gotta say, it was a great show. Yeah. I just think it just wasn't, you know, I came back to do a fishing report, you know, Robertson, Costa Rica, and I like this. This was more fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Didn't mean it was a bad show, just meant it was a lousy fish report. Great show. I really enjoyed this one.
We'll take our word for it. There are fish out there, but for now, you're just going to have to go find them yourself.
This week, we're featuring the Magic Crystal Ball of Fish and Frings.
You can come in and use the 8-ball on the counter.
Yes. Are there fish on the west side?
Outlook not good.
Outlook not good. So, anyway, anything else we should be talking about today? What's been anything else going on out there? There's Kobe in the harbor.
Triple tail is starting to show up.
That's one fish I still really. I spent a long time learning to fish for them. 6-pound, 4-pound mono, and some 20-pound fluorocarbon leader. And I don't like throwing braid at them. I'm really not a braid guy when it comes to the triple tail, because they're dumb. Dumber than a bag of rocks, but it seems like I get way more hookups throwing that light mono at them.
Mm-hmm. And the only problem with that is nowadays, unless you're going specifically to target that, most guys won't have that on their boat. You know, they're going to have braid. I mean, it's
now,
the go-to.
I keep mono.
Go-to line.
I like having mono on one rod for when I'm in open water, because I will outfish you every time with mono. There's no way you're going to catch or hook as many fish with braid as you will with mono. But that 6-pound, 8-pound test mono on the open water, especially 6-pound mono, gives you a breaking strength of about 9, 10 pounds, which is more than enough. And you put some 20-pound fluorocarbon on the end of it, and that is sneaky fishing.
Yep.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, braided is winching, but mono is sneaky. It really does work. But I won't throw mono against trees anymore. I'm sick and tired of missiles coming back at me.
Yeah.
Braided breaks so nice and easy. You can pop that braided line just like that, and no more missiles flying back at you, hooks hitting you, sinkers hitting you. I mean, I've seen people with quarter-ounce sinkers embedded into their leg, pulling it out with 14-pound mono, and then all of a sudden comes flying out of the trees with that bungee cord of line coming at you.
It hurts.
See, there's still reports of tarpon, smaller tarpon around the 41.
Yeah.
We heard that this morning.
In the canals, there's tarpon, too.
Yeah.
PGI canals.
No. I'm going to call my favorite in-the-canal tarpon lure. Now, the water's lightening up a little bit in the canals, isn't it?
Big time.
Because 2 weeks ago, the black chartreuse quarter-ounce rattle trap ruled the world on most hookups for small tarpon. That little rattle trap was kicking butt. Any good suggestions for anybody if they're out there? The little fishy jig?
I like throwing that punk prong gulp.
Yeah.
The jerk shad, that's what I like throwing at the baby tarpon.
Yeah, the punk prong gulp. If you're somewhere besides Port Charlotte and you need that, you have to call an order from us. There's only I think, five places in the U.S.
It's like an
available.
Australia color or something?
Yeah, it's not a color you can get from anybody. You call it, we'll mail them to you. You know, they're $6 a bag, and we can throw it in an envelope
hook
for you.
Hook them with a weedless worm hook.
So you're using the punk prawn jerkbait or shrimp?
Jerkbait.
Punk prawn jerkbait. Yep. What kind of hook?
Number 2-aught weedless worm hook. No weight. Just throwing it out there and just twitch it in like you would twitch it for a snooker or anything, or trout.
And it's the weirdest color.
Yep. And it works good on those baby tarpon, though. That's the only thing I use that color for, is a baby tarpon.
And I've used it in almost everything. It's that great kind of, if you're in Canada and you have that tannic water, or Wisconsin, Minnesota area. I don't know about Ohio. I don't know if the water's got the brown or just clear or muddy. But
muddy.
But in parts of Wisconsin, Canada, Minnesota, I know you get a lot of brown stain to the water from the plants and the trees and all that. And when it's that light brown stain, that punk prawn is just,
it works,
wrecks
good.
Them. Yeah. I mean, it really does wreck them. And I mean, I try it on smallmouth. I try it on pike. But walleye be easy. That wouldn't be a big thing. But the smallmouth, I think, would actually crush that thing.
Good chance, because I've used it for a largemouth down here in freshwater.
Yeah, and when you get that not too dark, not too clear, it really seems to...
Yep, it works real good, Zach.
...really kick on at that point. Greg, your favorite tarpon lure in the canal? Little one? Little
small
tarpon?
One, yeah, a small one. Yeah. I love that 3D minnow, you know, which... Yozuri in their infinite wisdom decided we shouldn't sell anymore because it didn't sell enough.
But it was the number one selling lure they had.
Exactly. Yeah. But they are making that now in that holographic. They went back to those two colors.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be afraid to pick one of those up and try throwing it out here, because I like that little glass one. What was the AY or the TM?
Yeah, the ghost and the...
Yeah, the ghost.
The ghost and the white. So
throw that in there. I've caught a pile of small tarpon in that. They just seem to love it, you know. Something in that size.
Yeah.
You know, the 2 3/4.
Yeah, we should have those back in this week.
MR 17 by Mirror Lure works good.
That'd be a good one, too.
Okay, Vinny, what's your favorite in the canal tarpon lure?
I like the small gold rattle trap.
Yep.
That quarter-ounce gold rattle trap.
Yeah. It's pretty reliable.
I'm a big believer in rattle traps for tarpon. And we had a guy come down, and he was sitting there. He says, well, what's the best lure for doing this? He was wanting to fish around 41. Walked over, gave him a rattle trap. He says, I just got down here, and I gave away 2 boxes of rattle traps. I said, you did what?
I thought they were for bass.
I thought they were for freshwater. I said, no. You take a rattle trap anywhere in the world, you're going to catch fish with it. And it's made in Louisiana. Yep. American-made product. And if you're in Canada, forgive that. But, yes, it is made in the U.S. but it's a great product. And I don't think of any place you can go and not catch fish with a rattle trap. But the small tarpon, I was doing the black chartreuse. You were doing the gold. So, anyway, there's your...
A lot of big jacks in the canals, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. A lot of big jacks in the PGI canals.
Man, it used to be one of the favorite trips I used to do.
It was fun.
Fishing those big jacks in the canal. Get 3 people hooked up, and they go, what do we do? Well, when 2 of you break off, we'll follow the last one, and we'll land that one. Yeah, you know, whoever breaks off last gets to see their fish.
Jack fishing's fun. They're very strong fish.
Now, white bait's absolutely the best bait for those.
Yeah, you know, chum them up, get them in a feeding frenzy just like you would for snook or ladyfish or something, and it's a blast. So you can sit there and just hook jack after jack. And
they're just nuts.
You ain't getting one in quick, so be prepared for a fight.
And the thing is, you know, like you're saying, that the white bait's great. Once that white bait disappears and it cools down and they start moving up the river, Jeff and I were on them this spring when he was here. They were inhaling a shrimp, you know.
Mm-hmm. Storm slip stick.
You know, usually pounders we were catching up there.
Usually when I'm doing jacks with a shrimp, I got a popping cork on. Mm-hmm. I want it to be noisy, and I want it staying close to the top.
Yep.
Well, we were fishing for snook and red,
so you were
on the bushes, free lining them, and we happened to see some disturbance in the water, so we kind of trolling motored over that way and just free lined it right out and into them, and boy, it was like yeehaw off to the rodeo.
You know, notice, Vinny, I'm vaping for you because you're stuck back here. And I didn't want you with 2 guys imbibing and you know.
Yeah, I mean, we got one here that's not considered at all.
That's all right. I figured I'd just cut it down to one. I was being
Carl's gonna get there.
And somebody did give him a vaporizer, a battery.
And if he's like me, he lost the darn thing.
No, I got it. So.
Yeah. Who was that gave you that stuff?
Ted the house. Greg did.
I decided I was going to try and do it more in here. Try and get out of that extra smoke and get more to the vapor. So, anyway, I'm trying. You know.
And we applaud you for that. Yay!
Yeah, but I did find out last night, when you're diabetic, you should not wake up in the middle of the night, hit the John, and then be real. You ever wake up and your mouth is all dry and you're just, you know, whatever, and open up the refrigerator and ate a fairly nice portion of ice cream last night without thinking about it. You know, I mean, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm all bleary eyed. Usually you just take a couple of, I was 141. This is nothing bad, but
not horrendous.
It's not horrific. It's not the 110 I'm used to, but you know, you don't want to wake up in the middle of the night when you're diabetic, and you know, it's been only a couple months now, you know, so I mean, I should get a break for that. And I only went 141, but I was just like, this is, you know, I don't, every once in a while I forget, you know, that I'm not a normal human anymore, and I should know.
Come on.
That was the wrong thing.
We're waiting. We're wondering, when was that, you know? I've been knowing you quite a while, and I'm having a tough time visualizing when that time period was.
I do. I was just hitting the wrong
thing. Yeah, you asked for that one.
Yeah, I know. It was just
open the door.
Okay. Anyway, so we do have a lot of jacks in the canal. Anything going on golf? Anybody know of? Vinny, you were out just a little while ago catching king mackerel.
Lots of kings.
Now, how were you doing the king mackerel?
We were we trolled, and we're using, you know, anything that would dive 10 to 20 feet deep, lures, the man's lures. And
but that isn't what you caught him on.
Well, I was going to get to that. Yeah, we did catch one.
No, wait a minute. He's talking about using the 10 to 15, the stretch, either the man's, the Rapala, the bomber, anything that has a depth marked on it so you can stay at different levels.
Yeah.
And that was doing okay, right? Mm-hmm. Did you catch anything on that?
Yeah, we caught several kings and barracuda, and we trolled
which
over.
Which made him a master angler, by the way.
We caught our first king at
master angler.
That's right. Don't forget it, Greg.
I was so impressed.
We got our first king at Novak, and then we went to Tremblay, got another, and then we headed over to School Bus, and we spent the rest of the day trolling around School Bus, and we got into a bunch of king and barracuda out at School Bus.
All right, but what was the number one lure of the day?
What was crazy was that little white storm twitch. I had my light spinning rod, you know, 15-pound braid, 20-pound fluorocarbon
and they were tearing
leader.
It up.
And I just, for grins, I threw it out behind the boat, had it trolling, and not even a minute after I threw it in the water, a king hit it. And it, you know, it was a good, you know, decent sized king, and we fought it and boated it, and
decent size. That looked like 15-20 pounds.
It was a good king.
It was a big king. You're trying to play it down. I'm sitting here going, and I am still shocked by how many fish that storm twitch catches.
It works.
I just don't think if you get on a boat. You know, we've talked about all these other lures, the Rockport Rattler. I mean, I want that with me. I've got those in my bag, but if I'm going out fishing, I have to have a storm twitch with me now.
They work good.
I have no idea, but I cannot imagine a fish is not going to eat it.
Well, you can tell it performs. All you got to do is look at our rods when we put them in the boat and look at the storm twitches. We'll have two of them, one on two rods, and they're beat all to hell. I mean, those lures have just been beaten up so many times, and we're still using them.
Yeah, I mean, $6.49 lure.
Worth
it. I can't imagine a fish it doesn't.
And
catch.
We have five spots on the wall for them.
Yeah, it's
and
the only
usually empty.
It's the only lure, and yeah, don't call and order them right now. You're gonna have to wait a while. We have bought them out. They are out of them, and we're waiting for another shipment to come in. So it's gonna be. I don't know. I called them, and you know, it's. They just.
Well,
they said, "Are you kidding me?" They never expected to sell as many of those lures as they've sold. It is the number one lure going right now.
Mm-hmm.
If
Why not? You know, if another note
with your light rod with the Kings, neighbor Dwayne was out about the same time, and they were on Tremblay. It got crowded. They said, oh, and he went and sat down in another spot, and he hung a chum bag and started fishing with larger rods and stuff, and he just happened to take one of his 3,000 battles and with 15-pound line. He had a 20-pound test on it, threw a shrimp in there. They brought in 3 40-pound Kings.
Wow.
All caught on light tackle. Every King they caught that day said they caught about 12 of them.
That's crazy.
On shrimp, and every one of them was on the light tackle.
Now, were they freelining the shrimp?
They had a sinker on it. They put it down, you know, just like a split shot.
Right.
Threw it in there.
Slow drift.
Slow drift down, and bam. But they tried it with the bigger rods after the first couple, you know, because they thought, well, it would be a whole lot easier reeling with the 5,500 spin fisher.
Right.
They wouldn't even look at it.
That had 50-pound test on it, though.
Yep.
They had the 15.
Yep. They had the 15-pound line. They had the 20-pound mono.
What we really got to figure out is what color was on the light rods and what color was on the heavy rods. Mm. If he had green on both of them, now we know it's just a size thing. But if he had maybe like High Seas Quattro on one, or then yellow on another one, or whatever, because the color line, I believe, especially in the Gulf, can make a huge difference.
Yep. Yeah.
I want Invisibrate on one white. I want yellow on another one. I want Quattro on another one. I want Tracer on one, and I'm going to see which one goes off the most. And nobody's going to believe this, but Finn's makes a pink braided line.
It's great line.
It's good.
And that pink braided line from Finn's, that stuff catches fish. Because nobody throw pink outside of some of us, a few tournament fishermen, and the women.
Mm.
And it's not used much, but I don't think they understand that that pink is a danger signal. And I think they do green.
Yeah.
I think green line is
becoming
a thing.
Green and yellow.
That's what everybody
uses.
That's
what everybody wants, yeah.
So, you know, here's a clue for you. If you're up there, you know, we can mail it to you, or you can buy it at a local store, but Finn's makes a pink, and that pink line is pretty cool.
Yes.
Now, Berkeley's coming out with a new white and blue, that saltwater camo line, and that should be here pretty soon, if it's not here already. But that white and blue camo line is going to be cool. No, it won't be here for a while.
Yeah. I think.
And I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to talk about it.
Last
yeah, week. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to talk about
probably
it.
Probably not.
But that,
Frank, I'm did really, it again.
I'm really looking forward to that white and blue line.
We'll back that up and erase it.
You know, Frank, since we've been struggling with passing knowledge to the fishermen on this show, I got one thing to share. Yeah, on that white twitch stick.
Should I be afraid, Vinny?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's looking at me. I know there's something coming.
I got two things. One, I would recommend to any fisherman that lives on a canal, when they head out, once they start heading out towards the harbor,
troll
that white twitch behind their boat.
Oh, absolutely.
Darlene and I do it every time, and we'll either catch a snapper, a snook. We'll catch a snapper or a snook every time that we head out.
What I usually do, and I agree with you 99%, I'm going to put the white twitch on one side, and now I'm going to put the Bomber 15 AXSIG on the other side.
Frank, we're talking about Vinny now. He can only handle one at a time.
Yeah,
but that white, it's the 15 Bomber with the green back on it. It's been year after year my most consistent lure in the PGI canals and stuff, or Port Charlotte canals. I usually have that and one other one, because I can pull that one closer than I can pull the twitch. So I run that one a little closer, and then I put the twitch out back a little bit further, and try that combination, because while I agree with you, the Storm Twitch is the most amazing lure to come out in a long time, I would back it up with that Bomber.
Now here's second nugget.
Okay.
I always use braid with fluorocarbon leader. Darlene always uses monofilament with a fluorocarbon leader. And when we troll out, we're trolling both lures behind the boat about the same distance. And I would say 80%, if not 90%, of the fish caught when we're trolling in and out of the canal system is on her rod.
On the mono.
Monofilament.
Yep, that's what I keep trying to tell people.
I thought it was the pink fish in Frank's rod.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it.
Which is about wore out.
Hey, but I know where you can get another one.
I do too.
I actually not right now. They're I'm lying. Away.
Take
out.
It back.
Yeah, we're out of the Fish and Frank rod. They're somewhere between here and California as we speak. But and we got a new brown one, and I'm really. This one kind of looks like granite. I mean, it's really cool. It's got quartz look and everything in it. It's a lighter action than we've produced before.
You get a short one?
It's 7 foot, but it's we've got the little one, that one that you throw. Yeah. You can flip it upside down, pitch in the mangroves. It'll hold any fish. As long as you got 20-pound test braid or less, you're never going to break that rod. I mean, it's amazing that way. But, yeah, isn't it amazing, Vinny? Because what I was saying earlier, you're going to catch more fish with mono. And the only time I do not want to use mono is against the mangroves or the docks. Yeah. It's too dangerous. It does not break. It's too hard to break. Mm-hmm. And that's a simple.
It stretches a long way.
It's too hard to break. Mono, braided line is so easy to break. And I use it for exactly the opposite reason. Everybody goes, it's so strong. No. I can give it a quick jerk and it'll just pop and it goes away and there's no danger to it. And so I use braided for the simple reason it's safer because it breaks so easy. And you know, but I'm
as long as
normal
you give it that
over there, Fish and Frank way over there.
Yeah. I use all braid inshore and I use all mono offshore.
Yeah, I don't like braided lines in the Gulf that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
all
mono.
And I'm actually the exact opposite because. You know, you get out there in that 80, 90 feet of water, and you're fishing on the bottom. Now, this is for bottom fishing.
Yeah, no,
we're trolling. Because now you're feeling that bite, and you go to set that hook. If you've got enough of the slack out, and you can get enough pull on it, it's great for hooking up. But that thing, I had my one rod with fluorocarbon wound all the way through it.
Right.
Had my braided rod there. Man, I'm pulling them out of there left and right with the braid. I said, I'm going to use this one with the floor going. And I'm clear up here, and I'm not getting hooked up because it's got that much stretch in the line.
Yeah, no, I get it. And there's pros and cons and everything, but my basic point is I think you hook up more fish. When you're trolling, I prefer mono because you're going along with the boat, you know, anywhere from, say, 3 to 4 miles an hour average, maybe a little slower, a little faster. But when the fish hits, if you're going that way at 3 or 4 miles an hour, he hits at 3 or 4 miles going the other way, well, all of a sudden, the line will stretch, the rod will bend, and then the drag will give. And when you use braided, you've eliminated one-third of the factor. You've got, you know, the rod bending and then the drag giving, so your drag has to be a third looser to begin with. And then you'll do okay with it. But if you set your drags like you would when you had mono, you're going to lose a lot of fish.
Or you're going to break your rod.
Well, if you get big enough fish.
Oh, yeah. Spanish mackerel can break a split butt 10 to 20 star stellar light right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When you put them in a rocket launcher.
Yep. When somebody was sitting right next to it, could have just grabbed it. But no, that would make me dive in the water.
Somebody sitting right next to it could have just grabbed it. Somebody had to, you had to dive in the water?
Yeah, I got a 9.8 for the dive from our buddy Englishman, John.
9.8 for the dive.
I only gave him a 9. I was closer. I saw it.
So, okay, explain what happened here.
Well, we're sitting
there. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell this story because he's going to lie.
Well, we're gonna give you guys each a little bit here.
Well, here's how it really happened. I'm sitting on the polling
platform. Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
I'm sitting on a polling platform. We're fishing. We're tied up on the to the. No, we weren't because we're not supposed to do that. I forgot. We were sitting on the corner of the intersection of the Midway Canal and the Locks Canal.
Right.
Water's ripping through there. Tammy, the girl that comes in here, she's sitting on the other side of the canal, and she can attest to this. I have a witness. We both throw our bait in the water. We're fishing shrimp, just free lining it, and it's ripping it in there. Carl throws his in there, sets his rod in the holder. I throw mine out there. I'm sitting. He walks up to the front of the boat. All of a sudden, whoosh, the rod's bent down. I'm like, Carl, and our lines are converging, of course, so now I'm reeling my stuff out of the way so we don't get tangled up. Because I'm thinking, oh, surely he's just going to grab this rod right away. No, he's playing with his phone and everything else, you know. And then I'm like, Carl, and about that time, it snapped right off, right at the split part. Now, I've got my rod up, so now I'm going to throw the hook out there and hook it before, and all of a sudden, whew, there he is. The dolphin is in the water. He catches the rod. I applaud him for that. Of course, I had to pull my stuff out of the way so I didn't hook him. Now I get that up. He's struggling to get back to the boat, and I'm like, hand me the rod. Hand me the rod. You know, thinking that would make it easier for him to get out. And he's like, am I helping him? No, I'm worrying about the rod and the reel. You know, I mean, tell we can get another Carl somewhere. Anyway, he finally pulls himself up on the boat. I reel this thing up. Now, it's kind of like fishing with a fly rod at this point because there's no handle.
Right.
I reel this thing up. He's like, what is it? What is it? I said, you're not going to believe this here. And I hit it. Probably a 24-inch Spanish mackerel up in that canal. And I'm like, he got lost. And we gave it to Tammy.
Yeah. Now, Carl, I'm listening to this. But all I can picture is, okay, you got the rod and rod holder, and all of a sudden it goes to break. And I'm picturing you running across the back of the boat, doing one of these Superman things out into the water. Mm-hmm. What was going through your mind when all of a sudden you look back, you saw the fish on it, and it's going? What happened at that point?
I was just thinking, why couldn't my buddy Greg, that was sitting right next to it, just grab it? But no,
I was thinking about the fish you had on there.
But you could have grabbed the rod.
Now, Carl's got a good point. You were 8 inches from the rod. You couldn't put your hand on the rod?
I probably could have, but you know, I have so many rods and reels, I don't worry about stuff falling in the water.
I think he's stretching here. I think he knows he's guilty.
No, I'm not guilty.
Now, so, okay, you look over there and you see your buddy Greg is completely ignoring your rod in distress.
Even the Englishman got in on this one. I always thought that's the way American captains did it. They just put their stuff in the rod holder and let the fish break it.
You know, Carl, it's nice not to be on the blunt end of Greg.
Yep.
You're next.
So all of a sudden, you know, you're looking back there. Do you see the rod break?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I did.
You got to see it, and then, okay.
And then I took the glasses off and set them on the console, and I took off running.
Took off running.
He pulled his shirt off, too.
Yeah.
Pulled his shirt off, pulled his glasses off.
Was the rod still at the surface, or did you have to go under for it?
It was going. It was moving pretty fast. I mean,
I didn't even get the cigarette out of my mouth before when I dove in.
Yeah, he still had a cigarette butt hanging in his mouth when he came up.
I just picture Carl running across doing one of these Supermans into the water.
It happened.
Well, between that fish pulling and the way the current was running through there, that thing really didn't get too far down in the water before he got a hold of it. I was impressed.
I had a hard time swimming back to the boat.
Yeah. Carl, I may or may not have gotten the gist of this, but to me, what it sounds like is Greg was sitting next to the rod, but because it wasn't his rod, he couldn't be bothered to bring the fish in until Carl dives in the water and brings it back up. And then who decided, well, it does have a fish on it now, so I'm going to reel it in.
But you know, Frank, in Greg's defense, I'm sure he was thinking some big thoughts. You know, strategy on the next fish they're going to go after. So, you know, you got to understand.
Big thoughts?
Yeah, he was thinking some big thoughts.
Well, we loaded up on the snapper in that hole that day. I want to tell you that. I was looking for a snapper. I thought, Jesus, this is the biggest snapper we've caught all day.
We have the biggest snapper right here.
You're not going to make this my fault, well, Carl. Because everybody that you've told this story to, other than these two, said, dude, that was the biggest rookie mistake that you could ever come up with, and you know I'm right.
And I agree with you. You left it next to Greg.
Yeah. That was the biggest
mistake. That was a rookie mistake. Okay. You knew this was going to happen. He wasn't going to land your fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do I claim you on my income tax?
You should.
Even file income taxes.
Right. Okay, boys and girls. This has been a radio fishing thing here, and we're not exactly sure what kind of a radio fishing thing this was.
This was entertainment.
This was entertainment. Yes, it actually was. So this was a lot
for
of fun.
For free, too.
And we'd like to thank everybody for listening, and... once again, Fish and Frank here in the chair. We got Captain Greg across from me. We got Carl in the middle seat and Vinny. And
Trader.
Trader?
Ooh.
Trader? How did Trader come into this?
I don't know.
You'll learn later.
Oh, man, Vinny, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about schedule. I can't get anybody else work Sundays.
No.
Go fishing.
That's a nice song.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.